The views and opinions of today's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of the TJRS Radio Network. Thank you for being a loyal listener and enjoy the show.
Online radio at its best. You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise.
Good morning, and welcome to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, the show where we discuss politics, social issues affecting people of color, and every now and then a little comedy as well. Now here's your host, J. Ryle.
Thank you so much, and Happy New Year, Happy 2024. It is the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, and I'm J. Ryle, and here are the topics that will be discussed on this week's edition of the show.
We do want to go back out to Washington right here where we do see Rudy Giuliani just after getting the news there that he must pay $148 million.
25-year-old Hannah Payne is spending the night behind bars convicted of tracking down, shooting, and killing a man in Clayton County after a car accident.
No. What? Because you saw that play, and then you see Sean Payton light into Russell Wilson. I don't know how you expect Russell to see that and tell him, hey, man, right. You need to back up.
You think that's Russell, what it was for, though?
I don't know.
End of car course, Mark Meadows, Trump's former chief of staff, turned co-defendant in the Fulton County election interference case. Meadows is at the heart of the sprawling, high-octane racketeering case brought by Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis, a case that has spooked Mark Meadows so badly that he's using every ounce of his legal firepower to try and get it moved.
Online radio at its best.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as I start this day, I come before you with a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving. Thank you for the gift of life and for the many blessings and opportunities that come my way each day. Lord, I pray for your abundant blessings to flow into my life today. I pray for prosperity, success, and favor in all areas of my life as I seek to fulfill my purpose and bring glory to your name. I pray for love and fulfilling relationships, both with those I already know and with those I have yet to meet. May I be guided by your love and grace, and may I spread that love wherever I go. I ask for protection and guidance throughout this day, knowing that with your divine intervention, I am safe and secure. Be a shield around me and protect me from all harm and danger. I pray for wisdom to make the right choices and decisions throughout the day. May I be guided by your Holy Spirit, and may my thoughts, words, and actions be glorifying to you. See.
Is our calling number, 347-850-1272. It is the serious side. Happy New Year to you and yours. I'm J. Rowland. Well, what a month had it. Oh, my God. It's been a minute since we've been here. It's been about a month since the last time we were on the air. But, you know, as always, I never share this stage by myself. Let me introduce you to the one and only Mr. Vanessa May, Mr. Mrs. Vanessa May Bell from the McAnell. What's going on, Vanessa? Happy New Year. And, boy, this is crazy mess that's going on here. Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And in a week, happy birthday. Damn, it's been a minute since I talked to y'all. How is everybody? Good morning, world, and thank y'all for being here. We missed y'all.
We have definitely missed you. It has been something else. Oh, boy, we'll explain here in a second what's been happening, but my goodness, we're glad to be back. The man that gets the first and last word here on the serious side, the one and only Mr. L to the E to the S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning to you, and good morning, Nessa. Good morning, Marion, the music. Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, Rich Sister. Good morning, Real Dia. Good morning, Rich Sister. And good morning, my brother Hawk, and good morning, my brother Jerome.
You know, he said it twice. So, you know, this just goes to show that we are out of practice over what this
twice.
Morning. So now, you said Rich Sister, you said good morning to her twice.
Okay.
That's okay. That's all right. I mean, listen, man, I screwed up the beginning of the show, and it's going to be a fun ride this morning because I'm telling you now, things are still not working properly. So let me set the stage for you right now. So now, basically, a lot of the material will be from the December 17th show that never aired because of the issues that we've had with BTR Radio. Now, just to bring you up to speed, BTR Radio has been down. And for people who are listening from different websites, BTR Radio is our home station. This is where the broadcast is originated from. And I'm here to tell you it has been down for the last month. So we're back. You know, we're staggering back. We're trying to get our sea legs back. So work with us this morning. You know, I almost said the heck with it. Let's just do it next week. But you know what? We have the opportunity to get on. We're going to get on. We're going to talk to you. And we are glad that you will eventually make your way back. Because, Mr. Elias, what happens is if you have no presence, people don't come. They think you're gone. They don't know what's going on. So, you know, it's we're going to have to come back out of this because, you know, my goodness, we've been gone for a month. There's really no explanation.
Yeah, well, you know, BTR, you know, if you look at it, you know, I'm an avid listener to the Jed King network, and they have been down, for about the same amount of time because of BTR. BTR has really, man, they have really dropped the ball. I guess they made enough money to where that now they, I know when we first started this thing, you know, you could reach out to somebody on Sunday and they would help you fix it to be whatever was wrong. Now, they're down for a month or so and they don't give a damn. It was like, we're taking a holiday break and see you guys later. Whatever happens, happens. If it don't work, oh well. See you later.
All righty then. Stelius is going in on our really host. Okay, listen, that's right. I mean, we pull no punches. I mean, this is crazy what's been going on here. So we're going to have to fight to try to, you know, reestablish because people come here and it's like, wait a minute, they're not here. They haven't been here for 3 weeks. And, you know, the bottom line is that we were able to schedule shows, Vanessa, but then you couldn't play. And so, you know, at some point you try to use, and I guess this is my fault too, because one of the things that I do not do, I'm not going to say it's my fault totally, but I will say that we probably need to be more stronger on social media because I don't monitor it because it's just too much for one person to do. So maybe this is a lesson that, you know, talk to your listeners through social media, let them know what's going on. And, you know, I don't know. This has been a rough 30 days or so, almost 30 days. But anyway, good morning, ma'am. Your comments about this hiatus we've been on. I mean, it's been crazy, but what say you?
I mean, can't say anything about it. It's just, it is what it is. It wasn't working, and we had to just sit back and wait. But I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. That's basically, she summed it up in a nutshell. So we have bashed BTR long enough. So anyway, we're glad to be back. Hopefully, you know, I'm assuming all the connections are there because the way it works is people, you know, we're on Apple, we're on iTunes, we're on iHeartRadio. So many different platforms that we have access to because of the connection with BTR. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and throw them completely under the bus because, you know, obviously they have the infrastructure in place in order for us to reach out to people on these different platforms. You know, Intune Radio, all those different places you can go and listen to this show. There are a few more that I'm forgetting too, but I know that if you go in and type in Sirius Side, it's going to show you a plethora of places where you can listen to the show. You can also download the show on Apple, you know, as a podcast on apple.com. I'm not sure if that's the right website, but I know you can on the Apple website download the show. And I know that people have the ability to set up automatic downloads so they can listen to the show at their leisure. So anyway, we're going to have to try to come back. You know, unfortunately, you know, it is what it is. And all we can do is just be here and try to make sure we bring you information. And hopefully everything will get back on track. What you say, Vanessa?
Go Texans. I'm sorry.
Go Texans. I didn't say that. There you go. Go Texans. All right. So once again, this show is going to be a collage of different things. Like I said, this is really the December 17th show, so the update is going to be from December 17th. We'll work through it. But, yeah, we're here. We're present and accounted for. trying to, you know, give you some information. And so, first of all, how did everyone's New Year go? Let's start with you, Vanessa. Where were you on New Year's Eve? What did you bring in the New Year? Talk to us.
I had to cancel my last trailer trip for the year because I was at home with a stomach virus that I got Christmas night. I literally was sick in the bed, couldn't hold nothing down. From Christmas night, which was Monday, to Wednesday, went to the doctor Wednesday, and they put me on a liquid diet, so I couldn't hold my head up because you ain't got nothing on your stomach. Then I went to the other doctor the day after New Year's, and she said, oh, no. Then I went to another doctor. She said, no, you need to eat right. What? Then I went to another doctor. She said, Vanessa, I need to get your system completely cleaned out. They put me on another liquid diet. So I didn't start feeling better from Christmas until like this weekend. Seriously.
Wow.
So I've been sick. I canceled the trip. But I'm getting dressed to get on the ship, Les, so it's all good.
So where are you going this time? And how long are you going to be gone?
I don't know. I don't know where I'm going, but I'll be back next Sunday.
There it is. Well, I tell you what, that's interesting.
I'm going to get on the quantity that big ship. So I don't know.
Okay, all right, I hear you. Now, my children, I think, well, Ms. Elias, let me do this. Ms. Elias, where did you bring in the New Year?
I was in Aruba.
Yeah, let's see
I went
about
to
you.
Aruba.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you made yeah, that you know, I was in Aruba. Yeah, I was in Aruba, you know, just hanging out with my boy, Tony Woods. He did a show there, so. We did the Aruba thing, and we're supposed to be going back, I guess, in another month or so. He did so well, so you know, he told me that yesterday, so we'll see.
Oh, okay. Wow,
Les,
look at you.
Get him an Aruba girl over there, because he's going to be over there so much, all right? All right, do you?
Yummy, yummy for my tummy. I hear you, Mr. Elias. Well, I can't remember. What did I do for nothing? I was just here chilling. Brought it in at the house. So, you know, it's no big rip. A lot of life changes coming up for me here in the next couple of weeks.
Did you go to church New Year's Eve, Jay?
I just said I was in the house.
I said New Year's Eve. I'm going to repeat this. So,
I
New
said
Year's Eve.
I was in the house.
All right.
That's
okay,
what I said. That's what
done.
I said. I was.
Okay.
Look at it.
Okay.
Now, see, look how
okay.
she doing me. I get on my knees every night
okay.
and pray to the man of sin. Spend a good 10, 15
okay.
minutes on my knees giving it up. So you get up, you leave
okay.
me alone. How about that? Yeah.
Okay.
Who's to say, Miles?
You should never.
The church.
You should never
what?
Say that again. Never say that again. Never say that again. Please.
Why not? Why not?
Think about what you just said.
What I say?
And then get back to me.
You
say, you
know,
like
it's
because
you're foul.
Every night. I'm on my knees every
foul.
Night giving it up.
You're foul. I mean, that's what kind of person you are. You're a foul dude, and that's just, you know, I expect nothing different from you. Yes, you are. You're just a foul guy. For you to make that correlation.
I'm on my knees every night giving God his praise. No, you should on my knees.
You know what? Whatever. Yeah, go somewhere and kick rocks, Mr. Elias. How about that? 347-850-1272. All right, listen. Coming up next weekend. He is wrong. Coming up next weekend, and I don't know if this is going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, because let me tell you something. You know, people talk about things that your kid's supposed to do for you. Listen, I'll be 60 coming up next weekend, and I'm not sure if they're going to throw me something here. I kind of hinted that, hey, won't you throw something in the backyard? Well, you know, listen, man, you know, I mean, kids today, I mean, it's crazy. That you have to, you know, you would think that as a parent, your kid would be like, oh, my God, you know, this is a milestone for my pops. Let me get things planned. I bet you those Negroes didn't think nothing of it until I say so. And so I'm like, okay, you know, y'all going to do something with Dad? Okay, all right. I'll make it easy for you. We're doing it in the backyard. That way, you know, people can come over, play dominoes, whatever. Oh, yeah, we got it. Yeah. Okay. We'll see. We will see. But I'm not going to be disappointed because, look, this is what today's generation is all about. That's what they do. It's all about them, and that's just the way it is. And I think that if you're a parent in today's society, and if you got kids that are under 30 years old, trust me when I tell you this, this is what's going to go down. Especially from a father's perspective, Ms. Elias. I saw a clip today on Instagram where it showed a number of episodes where grandparents would come and visit their kids and the little baby would run out the house and the grandmother would open her arms and the kid ran right around the grandmother and jumped into the grandfather's hands. And I read some of the notes underneath it that said, see how important dads are. I think sometimes we take fathers for granted. I know mothers, you guys give life. You carried the child through term. You dealt with the ups and downs. The male didn't have that heavy lifting. But I always remind ladies that you can't make babies by yourself. Somebody got to put somebody got to put something in the oven. Can't make them by yourself. So, yeah, you do the heavy lifting. You go through 9 months of what you go through. And look, God bless you. And we really appreciate that you bring life into this world. But you can't do it by yourself. And let's stop minimizing the importance of dads, because fathers play an important role in kids' lives. And so, in the Black community, we know that fathers are, I remember, going to different venues as a young child, and they asked people to raise their hands of, how many know where their fathers are. And, especially if it's a room full of African Americans, you really didn't see a lot of hands go up. And so it's like, wow. We've kind of created the space for us, but there are some brothers out there who are trying to do the right thing by their children. So, let's not minimize fathers. They play an important role. And kids, they are more than just a wallet. Don't call your daddy when you want some. Oh, dad, how you doing? Okay. How much money you need? But dads, once again, understand the importance of children. And even though sometimes they may not do the things you want them to do, it's still your flesh and blood you have to provide for. All right, 347-850-1272. We're going to step out, take a break. Remember, this break is from December 17th because we've been having some technical issues. Even once we got back into the board, we're still having problems. So we'll wing it, but we have a show to do for you this morning, and we appreciate you. Happy New Year, 347-850-1272. Like Vanessa said, Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, all the things. We didn't miss Thanksgiving. We did miss Christmas. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. We'll see you on the other side.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. The foreign ministers of the UK and Germany are declaring there is an urgent need for a ceasefire in Gaza. Villa Marx reports from London on the leaders' joint op-ed published by the Sunday Times newspaper.
David Cameron and Annalena Baerbock wrote that a, quote, sustainable ceasefire in Gaza was necessary, adding that, quote, too many civilians have been killed. They urged Israel to end its operations as quickly as possible, but also wrote that unless Hamas lays down its weapons, then they would not call for a ceasefire to be immediate, as that, quote, ignores why Israel is forced to defend itself. This joint position appears to put the UK and Germany at odds with usually close ally France, with the French foreign minister arriving in Tel Aviv Sunday insisting Israel should announce a, quote, immediate and durable truce. The French government also demanded details about a strike in Gaza by Israeli forces that killed an employee of the French foreign ministry. NPR News, I'm Glenn Marks in London.
The International Rescue Committee's international watch list of global crises has just been released, examining 20 countries that hold about 10% of the world's population, who at the same time face the vast majority of the planet's humanitarian challenges. The report attempts to track both progress and lost ground in places that face humanitarian crisis.
Most of the clients of the International Rescue Committee are women and girls, and they face double and treble trouble. Not just the poverty and the displacement, but also the violence that they suffer. Yet, only 1% of total humanitarian funding goes to women-led organizations. That's something that the non-governmental sector can help put right.
That's David Miliband, who heads the IRC. The report also looks at the correlation between calamities and armed conflicts. Miliband says the world's climate crisis puts tremendous pressure on resources, especially land resources, which in turn creates conditions of war. The Finnish Prime Minister says Russia is continuing what he called a hybrid attack by pushing people to try to claim asylum in his country. Terry Schultz reports Finland tried to reopen the border with Russia, but shut it again within hours.
It's the first time since Russia started transporting large numbers of migrants to its border with Finland in August that Finnish Prime Minister Petteri Orpo used the term hybrid attack. Orpo said Moscow's actions were aimed at the European Union as well as Finland, and that Russian authorities are involved. Over the last several months, hundreds of people, primarily from Iraq, Somalia, and Syria, were taken to one of eight stations on the 830-mile border and then urged to enter Finland and request asylum. The Finnish government shut down the border stations last month, hoping that would be enough to deter Moscow. Now, after the brief reopening, Finnish Interior Minister Mari Rantanen says the crossings will remain closed until at least January 14th. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz.
This is NPR News in Washington.
Big house.
How do I look? Do I look good?
I want to play hard.
My nails done. Once a month.
I want a home.
I just want a home.
I want someone to love.
Last year, more than 30,000 companion animals came to us without homes. 20,000 of them were felines. Let's make some homes together.
Online radio at its best.
We do want to go back out to Washington right here where we do see Rudy Giuliani just after getting the news there that he must pay $148 million. He is coming to the camera here. Let's listen, of course, for you on Live Now from Fox.
There's very little I can say right now. I have to analyze this. Obviously, possibly we'll move for a new trial. Certainly we'll appeal.
The absurdity of the number merely underscores the absurdity of the entire proceeding, where I've not been allowed to offer one single piece of evidence in defense, of which I have a lot. So I am quite confident when this case gets before a fair tribunal, it'll be reversed so quickly that it'll make your head spin. And the absurd number that just came in will help that, actually.
Welcome back in, 347-850-1272. That was former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani after a jury found that he was liable and they charged him out to gazoo. Well, listen, good luck with trying to get that money because this joke is broke. But anyway, my goodness, what a landmark court decision. And good for these young ladies. Their lives have been turned upside down because of the lies that, you know, Trump and his minions have spread against them. So welcome in. All right, Mr. Elias, once again, and, you know, just for those who are just tuning in, once again, this is information. This is the December 17th show because we had issues trying to load in the January 7th show. So we're still dealing with some technical issues here on BTR, but we're going to make our way through it. So we'll talk about what's on the agenda. And, you know, we may veer from the topic, but, you know, it's just a conversation. So anyway, Mr. Elias, Rudy Giuliani ordered to pay these women all this money. And since this clip was aired, since he made those comments, I should say, a judge said that the ladies can come and get this money immediately from him. So they're probably not going to see the $100 million, but I'm hoping they get something because their lives have been completely turned upside down by all the lies that Rudy Giuliani and his, you know, cast of people have said against these young ladies. And keep in mind, even after they had made the judgment against him, he still came out and said that, you know, he still repeated some of those lies that got him in trouble. These people don't learn anything. Your thoughts, please.
Well, bottom line is that he's going to have to sell some of those condo in New York, well, his apartment in New York, which is worth like $7 million. Then he's got a condo in Florida, which is worth $3 or $4 million. So he's got some... You've got some properties he's going to have to sell off, or they could take control of those properties because, bottom line, he's got to pay them. And the judge said, you can file bankruptcy all you want to, you still got to pay. So
right.
Good luck on that, Rudy. Good luck on that. You're going to have to pay these people because you told an outright lie about what you thought, you know, was the truth, which is you knew from the beginning it was a lie, and Trump knew from the beginning it was a lie. what you want. You wanted to stir up the election and the election deniers, and now you just got it. You got, and I hope they keep going. I hope these ladies go after Trump too, because he's the one that named him. He's the one that named him. I hope they keep going. I hope they don't just stop at Rudy. I hope they go after Trump too, because he's got millions too.
Yeah, but Rudy doesn't really have millions and millions of dollars. So that's a problem. He owes his attorneys. You know, he's been disbarred, so he has really no way of making a living. So, you know, once again, I think they'll get something, Vanessa, but they're not going to get the $100 million because he just doesn't have – you can't get – what they say, you can't – what's the old saying? You can't get something from a rock or whatever it is. There's an old saying out there saying you just can't
get blood from a tournament.
There you go. And so at the end of the day, if he ain't got the money, he ain't got the money. They can be, yay, we got a $100 million settlement, but, you know, I hope that they get something. I hope they get maybe, you know, 4 or 5 million. I don't know what they're going to get, but I hope they get something because, you know, when you listen to these young ladies testify, they talk about how, you know, if they're in a grocery store, you know, she says, Mom, I don't want my mother to call my name across the grocery store because people will didn't know who she is. I mean, they had to move. I mean, it's just crazy what happened to these young ladies. And come to find out that, you know, once again, they accused them of passing, you know, disk drives with mail, you know, with voter information on it. Come to find out they were just passing each other ginger mints. What say you in regards to this situation?
Yes. Hey, you know what? Ladies had to change their name, couldn't go in the grocery store. They couldn't do anything. They just needed to get their life back, and now they got it back. But he can file bankruptcy and do whatever he wants, y'all, because he's still got enough money. Well, he's got to give those people some money, and guess what? They're going to still have a decent life if they get $10 million apiece or $20 million or whatever it is. They're still going to have a decent life. Even though he thinks
right
filing
now.
Bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just saying, mm-hmm. even though he thinks filing bankruptcy, oh, they're not going to get my money. They're going to get enough. And with that kind of money, I could start my life over. I could go move to another state and what don't nobody know me. I could change my hair color, cut my hair, wear a wig or whatever. So, I mean, you know, they're going to be all right. They're going to be all right.
I don't know.
But he is dirty and low down. But when you do dirty and low down, God sees high and he looks low. He sees it all. And he's going to get his. And if he doesn't, my husband always says, the sins of the father. So guess what? Somebody going to reap it, either him or his children. Because you can't do wrong. Somebody in your family going to get some consequence. Karma going to hit. So I'm not worried about Giuliani. I'm only worried about that damn fool who got 91 indictments and still can run for president.
Well, okay, I like that one, but let's take it one step at a time. All right, so check this out. I think that you said they can move and change. You know, when you say that, I said, okay, yeah, maybe that can happen. But my goodness, for these people to be tracked down, there are people out here who will find you. If they feel that you're going against their Messiah, they will spend their every waking moment trying to locate you. So are they really go somewhere and not be known or seen? I just don't, on one hand,
have you
I say
seen
this
Zimmerman?
Is,
have you seen or heard anything about Zimmerman? He, like, disappeared off of the face of the earth.
Well,
and then what about the girl?
Really... Well, wait a minute. You asked me about Zimmerman. Let me answer that question, and you can tell me about the girl. I think with the Zimmerman situation is, once again, black folks are not that vindictive where we're going to run around and try to track his every movement. We're just not going to do it. So yeah, he's fade to black. Nobody knows where he is. These white folks that are these militia cats and they all Trump. And, you know, let me tell you something. Ain't nobody black folks ain't going to jail for somebody. And for the most part,
hey,
now they may not snitch.
Black woman.
But they're not going to jail.
Jay, a black woman can change her hair, can lose 20 pounds and look like a different person. I've lost 20 pounds since y'all seen me. 20 since y'all have seen me. And do you know my white friends are like, oh, my God, you've lost so much weight. You look fantastic. I didn't even recognize recognize you. I want to say be pleased, but I didn't. So change the wing.
Can you send that formula?
Let
me ask you something. Can you send that formula to me? Because I need to lose. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What were you saying now? Yes. You lost 20 pounds. How the hell you do that? Hey, forget the damn topic show. How did you do that, Vanessa? I mean, I need to lose 20 pounds. Quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Because my doctor put me on that shot called Ozempic for your sugar level and to help you to lose weight because, you know, I'm having hip surgery. So I've lost the weight, like two pant sizes.
I wonder, can I get that on the cruise?
The Ozempic, listen,
yes.
The Ozempic did not work well in my system, and they just had to pull me off because it made my liver enzyme change.
Hold on. Okay,
so
that's TMI. I didn't want you to put. I was kind of joking about that. I didn't want you to get all into your business like that. But when you go to one of those illegal pharmacies in Mexico,
everybody should know about Ozempic Ozempic is on a TV commercial every day. It is on talk shows. It is on the news. It works. Ozempic brings your sugar level down. It makes you lose weight. It does just what it says. But the side effects of what it says is real. The nausea type, you don't crave carbs. But the nausea will just stop you from eating by itself. So it works, but the side effects are also real too. And that is for everybody at the sound of my voice that's listening. Make sure that you're taking this and your doctor know about it. So when you get sick and you're nauseous and you can't get your head out the toilet and you can't eat, the side effects are real. But hell, I didn't lose 20 pounds.
I don't know if I want to go through all that. Okay, I don't know if I want to do all that.
Well, they're doing it, Jay. You know, I'm having a major surgery. I'm having a hip replacement, so it's going to help me to have lost 20 pounds.
Oh no, I'm with you. I'm just saying I don't know if I want to go through all that just to lose 20 pounds.
If it's worth it. But if I had to do it over, if somebody said, Vanessa, was it so horrible? If you had to do it over, would you do it over? Yeah. To lose 20 pounds is very hard, and I lost it since I seen y'all.
Wow.
I've lost 20 pounds.
Okay, here you go.
Remember when we was at dinner, Bobby and I shared a plate of food? Remember we shared one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got
yes, I do.
Fajitas and shrimp and stuff, and then Bobby and I shared one.
Okay.
It's because I couldn't
right.
eat.
Okay.
Anyway, I love y'all, and I'm good.
We love you too. All right, 347-850.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, thank you. 347-850-1272. All right, so Rudy Giuliani has to pay these women. The bigger situation here, or the bigger case here, Ms. Delias, I think, is what's happening with, you know, Jan. 6. Jan. 6 was yesterday, 3 years from when Trump, you know, told these people to march on the Capitol, and I'll be there with you. And, you know, he sat in the dining room in the White House and watched the events where everybody and their mama was trying to tell him to stop it, to get out here and talk to his people, even his own children, trying to get out there and say, hey, you know, Pops, get out here and stop this. He just sat there and enjoyed it because, you know, I think about this for a second. There are people who are going to jail for this man. Going to prison, serving hard prison time for this man. How on God's green earth? I just don't get it, man. I mean, do we have that many gullible people in this country where you will go to jail for someone who don't give two S's about you?
Mm-hmm. We do. We have a bunch of them. It is a bunch of them. The reason that's what scares me about Trump being reelected is that the fact that his voters, the people that our voters are wishy-washy, those people that he got, they're going to vote for him regardless, no matter what. The one guy said, I don't care. Only reason I wouldn't vote for Trump is that I watched him kill someone. That's the only reason I wouldn't vote for Trump, that I watched him kill someone. I have to actually see it. You can't tell me he killed somebody. I'd have to see it. Dude, this dude, he has a hold on these people like nobody's business. He's Jim Jones over these people.
I just never seen anything like this, man.
Well, we had Jim Jones, so, you know, he's able to take people away.
Yeah, it's true.
But this guy here, this guy
but
here.
But this is on a whole different level, though, Mr. Ellis. We're talking about, dude, we're talking about over 70-some million people voted for him after his presidency.
Hitler was the same. Hitler was the same way. You know, and people, every time I say this, people don't believe me. But if he gets back in, we're going to have an attack.
Hold on, man.
He's going to be an authoritarian, trust.
Let me ask you, Bo, you brought up Hitler. I don't think it's – I think the concept – I see where you're going concept-wise, and I don't think they're the same because, in you know, back in Nazi Germany, you know, you could be – you know, the government can come in and kill you. You know, it's like when Putin wins elections. Oh, he won it by 85%. Well, yeah, because guess what? People are afraid that if they cross him, they're going to end up, you know, buried. There's nobody thinks that if I don't vote for a certain political candidate that the government's going to come and throw me in jail. So to me, you know, I hear where you're going with it, but this is crazy. These are people of their own free, you know, of their own free will voting for these guys. People voting for, you know, Putin knows that, hey, man, he crossed this dude, you know, we can be sleeping with the fishes. So it's about a dictator. That's a straight up dictatorship.
Okay, you don't think that's what he wants to do to America?
That's what that's not okay. I agree with that. That's not what but that wasn't the question. My thing is, you're right. That's exactly what he wants. He wants to be a king. He wants to be able to say, you know, he wants to be able to rule with an iron fist. That's what he wants to do.
Yes, and that's where, eventually, you know, if he gets back in power, you don't think he's going to not – you think he'll ever relinquish power if he gets back to be president again?
Well, he's going to have
to,
but here's the thing. Yeah, but here's the thing about that, and I'm glad you brought that up. Here's the thing about that. The problem with that is, and the reason why you can say that, you know, this could be a reality – is because of all the crazy people that are in the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll happen, but the possibilities are a lot stronger than they were, you know, 10 years ago. That's for sure. I agree with you on that, but I just don't
think
that.
Back in office, well,
Well, I think there will be an attempt to establish that, but there are too many different arms of government, even with the Supreme Court folks. You know, like, you know, one of the reasons why Trump was mad earlier because his own Supreme Court justices ruled against him on certain cases. And this thing is, you know, I gave you this job, and now you're going to rule against me? The hand, you're going to bite the hand that fed you? Really?
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that there's enough people in those positions of authority that will, you know, stop this. Think about what we're talking about now, January 6th. I mean, no, you couldn't have, man, if you'd have held a gun to my head and said, hey, you need to believe this is going to happen, I tell you a dang old lie. There's no way that these people are going to storm the Capitol of the United States of America. This is not a third world country. When I saw that, man, you can think, and see, I'm talking about it through the perspective, Vanessa, of looking at it through a, you know, I used to be in the military. That's a very structured environment. And so when you think about the U.S. government, you can't fathom this happening. You just can't. It's like, what? Really? 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 And so
it's going. Trust me.
Well, I don't know. I don't think it's going to. I think that the possibilities of it happening is a lot greater than it was, like I said, a few years back. I do. I have to give you that because I never thought I'd see what I'm seeing now. You know, what Republicans trying to, you know, it's crazy. They sit here and talk about what Hunter Biden did. There's reports that came out this past week that said that Trump made over, what, $70 million or something while he was president? from foreign governments. I don't know what the number is. But the bottom line is if he made $2, that's against the annulment clause. These Republicans can get here in good faith and stand in front of the camera and say this stuff. He's crooked. Really? You didn't say anything when Ivanka Trump was making deals with China. You didn't say anything when her husband got billions of dollars as soon as they left the White House.
Yep.
You didn't say anything about that. You didn't say anything about them diverting U.S. military planes to Trump hotels. You didn't say anything about this. You're going to try to sit here and put a contempt of Congress charge against Hunter Biden. Well, the same people who signed that contempt were people who didn't show up when Democrats were in charge. Jim Jordan, he didn't show up to the subpoena. None of these guys did. And you're going to sit here and say this in good faith? It's amazing to me, man.
About that, Jay, is none of them showed up. Sometimes I agree with Jerome when I say that the Democrats are just weak, because I would have threw all of them in jail. So
you can't throw them in jail.
You didn't do anything to them. They didn't happen to them people.
You can't throw them. You can't throw them in jail because you can't throw them in jail for not going and you know appearing in front of Congress. You can put the information out there. You can put it in front of the – and see, here's the other part, too. And Trump said something, and unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to upload that clip because, you know, stuff is still not working here. But – and maybe we'll do it during next week's show. But he said something I thought was interesting, how he said that, you know, the three Supreme Justices that he put on the Supreme Court, you know, he said they're being unfair to me because they're trying to prove – something, trying to prove that they, you know, they're trying to be, and I forget how he worded it, but it was crazy. I said, are you serious? So basically he's saying that they're going out of their way to try to prove that they're mainstream and
that they're not
liberal.
They're not conservative judges.
It's just crazy that they're being unfair against them because of these crazy liberals, and they're, you know, they're falling right in line with them just to try to prove a point. I'm like, fool, they're falling in line with the law. Now, what they did with Roe v. Wade is just horrible. And, you know, we're still, you know, dealing with the repercussions of that. I mean, I still can't believe that you know, we haven't gotten a bigger fight on that one. But you did say something I thought was interesting, Vanessa, and I remember us arguing about this on the show a while back when it happened. Like, okay, so why won't the president put more liberal judges on the – why don't he add, you know, more Supreme Court judges to the Supreme Court? And so I get that. But then I said my argument was, well, if he does that, then guess what? Then the next president can do it, and the next thing you know, we have 30 people sitting on the Supreme Court. Somebody has to be the adult in the room. But I don't know. This is crazy.
Do you honestly believe that if the Republicans were in the same boat, do you honestly believe they wouldn't do that?
I'm not saying they wouldn't.
They did do it. They took some positions that Obama could have used and said he couldn't use it. Then they turned around and took it. So they did do it.
Mm-hmm. They would do it in a heartbeat, man. They wouldn't even think twice about it. So, like Michael Steele said, if they did that, what would happen if the Republican Party got in place? And then somebody on MSNBC said, they've done it already. Don't give me that crap about what the Republican Party won't do. They'll do it and laugh about it after they get it done. And then keep and move on and have no conscience about it. That's why I'm like, when they go low, I go lower. I don't give a damn. If you want to go, we're going to see who can go the lowest. That's how I feel about it. Because you are the low-down, dirty snake in the grass, so I'm going to go lower than you. That's how you do it. I want to do it too. So these people don't care. They don't give a damn. They can keep doing what they do because they are who they are. And we're going to sit around and talk. We're going to be talking about this for the rest of our lives, talking about, oh, well, we can't do this. We can't do that because these Republicans are going to do whatever. Trust me. I don't give a damn about it. I really don't. I don't care how they do it. I'm going to, if you're going to hit me, I'm going to hit you right back. I'm going to hit you, and I'm going to hit you harder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, so there's some validity. There's some validity to that as well. 347-850-1272. We'll stop by, take a break. Remember, Happy New Year to everyone. Once again, we were gone a month. Today's show is really the show that we wanted to present to you from December 17th. We're still having issues with loading information into the board. So, once again, we just wanted to be here for you. Hopefully, we'll be back on our, you know, we'll get our sea legs back under us next week. But right now, we're just going to wing it. 347-850-1272. We'll be right back after this. Don't go anywhere.
Michigan is the first state in the nation to restore voting rights automatically to people who are released from prison. State officials say it helps former inmates return to society. Michelle Jokish-Polo from member station WKAR in East Lansing reports.
Malija G. was first incarcerated in a Michigan prison when he was about 17 years old.
I came here as a youth, so I was never able to vote.
After spending 36 years behind bars, he's expected to be released early next year. He's excited to vote for the very first time in the state's presidential primary in February.
So now getting out and having that ability, that opportunity is just, it's a great feeling. And one of the things that, you know, we need to do in here is to now start making prisoners, helping prisoners become aware of this bill.
The bill G is talking about is a new state law. Michigan already allows people with felony convictions to vote once they complete their sentences. But now, the state will go one step further and expand automatic registration to people in prison once they are released. State Representative Penelope Cernoglou is a Democrat who sponsored the bill that was signed into law earlier this month. She says the goal of the bill is to improve access for what has historically been a disenfranchised population.
Michigan actually has a really good rate of voter registration, but we wanted to increase that even more. And the incarcerated population is one of the populations that is least likely to be registered to vote.
Before this law, the Michigan Department of Corrections was already working with the Secretary of State to register incarcerated people to vote when they're released. It's part of a larger initiative to help inmates get vital documents like birth certificates and state IDs. Kyle Kaminsky is the spokesperson for the State Department of Corrections. He says the law will ensure the initiative continues regardless of who is in office.
Having put these processes in place, we don't want to see them be eliminated at some point in the future. So this will, what the legislation does is it'll ensure that everybody leaving prison in the future will still have that opportunity to be registered.
Kyla Crane has been leading this work at the Michigan Secretary of State. She says it's not that incarcerated people don't want to participate in the democratic process, but that many don't think that they can, and that's because voting rights for people with felony convictions vary from state to state.
They don't want to jeopardize their ability to remain outside of the criminal justice system once they have been released. So a lot of folks that we hear from just don't participate because they don't want to jeopardize their parole status or any other kind of issues with law enforcement.
Green says this law will help dispel some of that confusion and be a part of the first step in helping formerly incarcerated people re-enter society. Malija G says when he regains his rights back next year, he's got research to do before deciding who to vote for. For NPR News, I'm Michelle Jokish-Bolo in East Lansing.
Online radio at its best.
25-year-old Hannah Payne is spending the night behind bars convicted of tracking down, shooting, and killing a man in Clayton County after a car accident. A jury convicted Payne earlier this week of malice and felony murder after killing 62-year-old Kenneth Herring after he left the scene of an accident back in 2019. Ultimately, the judge sentenced Payne to life in prison with the possibility of parole after serving at least 43 years behind bars. Payne's attorneys plan to file a motion for a new trial.
Welcome back in. 347-850-1272. Happy New Year's to you and yours. We're glad to be back on the air. It's 49 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens almost every Sunday right here on the TJRS radio network. This is a case that was under the radar. and I'm not sure if anyone knows about it or knew about it, the mainstream public. So we wanted to talk about it here on this show. So Hannah Payne, once again, you heard the lead in. She tracked down a man by the name of, I want to say his name is Kenneth. What is his name? I had it in front of me. God, I don't have it. But anyway, Kenneth Burris, is that his name? I think he was still there. He was 62 years old, I think it was. But anyway, she tracked him down, and she shot and killed him. And so this morning I want to spend a few minutes talking about this case. I want to present it to our listeners because, once again, I found this by accident. I was going through and trying to, you know, when I do my production information for the show, I found this by accident, and I was intrigued by this. Like, how the hell did I not hear about this? Now, I'm not going to say that this is a white versus black case because I think she has a black boyfriend. I think this is more of a situation where, you know, white entitlement. So even though you may have African-American friends, you may not consider yourself a racist, but at the same time, you know, think about doing slavery days. There were people who were friendly to their house Negroes. You know, they would let their house Negroes take care of their babies. So I don't, you know, because you are, you have friendly interactions with African-Americans don't necessarily mean that you still feel that white is right and white is might and that you can still have the authority to do what you need to do. So this morning I'm going to play a few clips because I want people to get the gist of what happened here. So now this young lady, basically, let me see, can I get the 911 call up? Let me see if this is the right clip. I want you to hear this, and then we can talk on the other side. Let's see if this is the right one.
Online radio at its best.
Clayton County 911, what is the location of your emergency?
Yes, ma'am. I'm actually on Forest Parkway and Clark Howell Highway. And there was just an accident. I'm sure they've already called, but I just witnessed it, and I just wanted to make sure that I guess, called the police as well in case they didn't.
All right. Were they, what were the kind of vehicles involved?
It's a red Dodge pickup truck. I think it's a Dakota. And a semi was involved. And the red Dakota ran the red light and slammed into the side of the semi.
It doesn't look like we received any reports on it yet.
Okay,
I'll go ahead and put in a call here.
Okay.
Red Dakota. And were they on Forest Parkway or on Clark Howell?
The semi and I were turning left onto Forest Parkway. And the Dakota was going west on Forest Parkway.
Okay. And what's your name?
My name is Hannah. H-A-N-N-A-H. Last name is Payne, T-A-Y-N-E.
And what's your callback number?
470-512-1847.
We appreciate you calling this in. We'll get someone out there and try to assist them.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Clayton County 911, what's the location of your emergency?
Yes, ma'am. I'm on Clark Howell and Forest Parkway, the intersection. I actually called about 20 minutes ago for an accident, and no one has shown up yet. But I am under the impression that the guy that caused the accident, who ran the red light, is drunk. And he's gotten back in his car, and he's looking like he's trying to drive away.
Okay, can you get his tag number?
Hold on. He's driving away. It's a red Dodge Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
One second, hold on.
Now let me jump in real quick. She said that he was drunk. Come to find out, he was having a medical emergency. But we'll keep listening in on the conversation.
Okay, so he is going west, down Clark down Forest Parkway.
Okay, so you couldn't get a tag number?
No, but I'm catching up to him right now.
Okay, ma'am, we actually do not want you to chase him. We just want you to be safe. And
I understand. I understand 100%. I'm just going to get the tag number, if nothing else. It is a Georgia tag. License plate is RHA as an apple, 4859.
Okay. So if you can go back to that location where the incident happened, it's because someone is actually on the way to you guys now.
Okay, well, there's a police officer there, but he is drunk. I'm sorry, but I'm here to tell you I'm not going to follow him because he is going to cause another accident. So I will stay behind him until an officer can get to us, but until then, I'm not moving.
Yeah, no, that's what I want. I want you guys to go back to the location where it happened, and an officer will be out there momentarily, okay?
Now, they told her not to follow
ma'am.
Him.
Ma'am. Ma'am.
What they're doing here is magic. I don't think you can put a price on somebody's smile. And
so let me stop it there. So they told her not to get out the car, right? Told her not to follow, to go back to the place where the incident took place, right? Now, she gave the sob story when she came back on, and I'm not sure which clip it is, but she talked about how, you know, he grabbed her gun, and because she pulled his firearm out, and to confront him, once again, told not to follow, told not to be a part of it, but she did it anyway. So I want to play. Now, here's the witness who, there were a number of witnesses who watched this. I want to play one of the witnesses, her testimony, and then we'll talk on the other side.
Online radio at its best.
You able to remove your mask?
I am.
Thank you. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you will provide to this court will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
All right, you can have a seat and pull yourself up to the microphone. All right, will you please state and spell your name for the record?
It's Ashley Jackson, A-S-H-L-E-Y-J-A-C-K-S-O-N.
And Ms. Jackson, are you a resident of Clayton County?
I am.
And how long have you been a resident of Clayton County?
All my life.
All right, and are you familiar with the area of Forest Parkway at the intersection of Riverdale Road?
I am.
Now, is that location in Clayton County?
It is.
And were you in the area of Forest Parkway and Riverdale Road on May 7, 2019?
I was.
And why were you in that area that day?
I was getting off work.
Okay, and about what time would that have been?
A little bit after 6 p.m.
Now, where do you work? Like, actually, where is it located? Where would you have been coming from that day?
Atlanta South Parkway.
And is that connected to Forest Parkway?
It is.
Now, can you explain what happened as you turned off of Atlanta South Parkway onto Forest Parkway on May 7, 2019?
I was getting off work as I was approaching Forest Parkway. I was making a left off Atlanta South Parkway. As I was making my left and getting into the far right lane, Miss Hannah was coming up Forest Parkway. She was coming from the end off of Highway 85, and she almost ran me off the road. She was speeding. She was going very fast. When she almost ran me off the road, my coworker actually called me and was like, that car almost ran you off the road. And I said, yeah, she's probably going to cause an accident. So I proceeded up Forest Parkway. She was weaving in and out of traffic. Once I got towards Riverdale Road, I saw Ms. Payne had caused an accident.
Now, when you say she was weaving in and out of traffic, were you the only car that she almost ran off the road?
The right lane really didn't even have any cars in that lane, but she was still going, like, left, right, making other cars hit their brakes.
I'm stepping in here. Apparently the clips weren't edited, but man, I wish I could get the whole thing in. So basically, what this young lady said was that Hannah walked up to the guy and said to the guy, you know, I will shoot you, and you would need an ambulance. And, you know, she almost caused traffic. She almost caused the accident. And it's just a sad case. And once again, going back to the original clip, she talked about how he was drunk. He was having a medical emergency. And she walks up.
I think he was having a diabetic seizure or something of that nature, wasn't it?
Say what now?
I thought he was having a diabetic seizure or something of that nature.
Yeah, he was having a medical emergency.
Yeah.
And she decided to, she said he was drunk, and she walked up with her weapon drawn after 911 told her not to do it, and she ended up shooting this man, and she said he grabbed her gun, but then the witnesses said something different, and once again, I apologize. I thought the clips were edited better than that, but they're not. But at the end of the day, she was sentenced to life in prison. And so I guess the moral of the story here is this, is that, you know, sometimes we talk about how justice is not, you know, the faces and the scales of justice are not equal. But there are opportunities, and there are times where you see, you know, things are being done the right way. This young lady shot this man, walked up to him, shot him. Once again, it's just white privilege. You know, we talk about this term Karen, how people feel. Remember the story we did a couple of years ago where this guy was walking into the building and this lady comes up behind him, talking about some, do you live here? Followed him all the way up to his apartment, asked to see his key. Or remember the story we did 3 years ago, because we used to do a segment called you know, LWB, Living While Black, where this doctor was pulling into her subdivision. This guy cuts her path off from going in, blocks the entrance. Come to find out she lives there and he don't.
Yeah. This is the world we live in. This is who they think they are. And they're not going to stop this. This is white privilege, man, at its best. And then, you know, they'll sit there and act like you did something wrong. That's the funny part to me is when they do that. It's like, I don't believe that he lives here. Neither do you. But you don't stop him. I've seen guys throwing away trash, and the police have stopped him and say, sir, you need to prove to us that you. He said, I'm a lawyer here, first and foremost. And then, you know, the guy had to prove that he was a lawyer, even though he was. This is the society that we live in as we speak, man. So don't get upset. Just be smart about everything that you do. Because if you don't, they're going to find a way to get you.
Well, and see, it kind of goes back to Vanessa where, you know, and I read comments from people. Send us comments and they talk about, oh, you guys are talking about, you know, you talk about racism and all this stuff, but you guys are sitting there spewing this stuff on your network and blah, 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 blah. And like we talked about, I guess, during our last live show, I was about to say last week, but hell, that was like 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, where we say, look, we're not, all we're doing is reporting what you do. We're not saying anything. Are we saying anything that's not true? I mean, did this guy not block this doctor from getting into her own complex? He lived there. Right. Did the Dallas police officer that went into the wrong apartment shot this guy? I mean, these are stories. These are facts. We're not making this stuff up. And they act as if we're making up. They act as if, you know, we're trying, all we're doing is reporting what we see. It's like, it kind of goes back to when they talk about critical race theory, right? And they say, well, you know, we don't want you teaching this stuff in school. Oh, you don't want your white children to know what their white ancestors did to us?
Mm-hmm.
You want to gloss
them? They don't. Mm-hmm. They're getting rid of our history, period. I hear people talk all this stuff about, well, you know, we got to, you know, you know, just teach history? No, they're trying to get rid of our history, period. They're going to erase us. And if you miss your history, you're doomed to repeat it. And I'm telling you, they're trying to erase us. And Ron DeSantis, you sit there look at him, and this clown is sitting there talking about what he's done in Florida. What you've done in Florida has made Florida horrible.
You know, it's garbage. It's garbage. It's what I want people to understand is that when we tell you these stories, we're not making this stuff. We're not adding our own spin to it. Yeah, we make remarks about it. Of course, that's what a talk show is all about. But at the end of the day, you know, the merits of what's going on, they're true. Not making this crap up. And it's amazing to me how, once again, we want to gloss over the fact that slavery didn't exist, you know. Nikki Haley, she's in damage control because of her comments behind the Civil War. Say what now, Vanessa?
Black people came over here on a ship to go on vacation in Chapel.
There you go. There it is. You're right. The first cruises, first African Americans on cruises. Yeah, that's what they did. You're right.
Yep.
It's disturbing. It's sad. Because if you point out things that happened in the past, then all of a sudden, you know, you're a race baiter. You're playing the race card. Everybody knows I hate playing the race card. I play it when it's necessary. And these are it's necessary. These are turbulent times. And we need to stop acting as if they didn't exist. Because they do. We need to stop acting as if this stuff didn't happen, because it did. Right? I mean, it happened. So I just don't understand it, man. But listen, she's, she's not eligible for parole in, 40 years. So I'm glad that justice was served in this case. Yes, she seemed to be a little pleasant lady, but she has that syndrome. She has this syndrome that they feel that if they see an African American breaking a damn law, that they have the authority to make citizens arrest and all this other crazy nonsense. They were talking to some friends of hers. They were like, black friends. Well, she's a great girl. I can't believe. Yeah, well, you know what? Mind your business. You reported it. I've reported drunk drivers before. But I didn't, you know, once I reported it, it was a wrap. You know, I didn't go and confront him. I did follow one guy. But, you know, once he got off the expressway, you know, I told the cops where he was and I left. But I didn't feel the need to walk up like I'm, you know, Sheriff Matt Dillon and say, hey, you know, give me your driver's license. She told him to get out the car. She walked up to the car with her weapon drawn. These wannabe freaking police officers. It's crazy. It's crazy stuff. 347-850-1272. All right. We'll step out, take a break. We'll be right back after this. Don't you go anywhere. You're listening to the Serious Side of the Jay Rowell Show.
And I feel like sometimes I cry.
through pain and anger. Then I look into my baby's eyes, and I feel like sometimes I cry, 'cause I feel so good to be alive. When I fall in line with my divine, I can see its side, the sun shines more. I'll take some break with my sunshine. Take the rain with my sunshine. I'll take the rain with my sunshine. Take it easy, simple like summertime. Take it easy. Take it easy.
We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them. Beat them.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
Let's get a little bit rowdy. R-O-W-D-Y.
Take time to be a dad today.
All those boys are much too much. Those boys are much too much.
Online radio at its best.
347-850-1272 is the call-in number, 347-850-1272. Happy New Year's to you and yours. It's a beautiful day in the state of Texas. Hopefully the weather's pretty good in your neck of the woods, even though we have some bad weather coming through a little later on. But right now it is beautiful. I think it's going to get 70 degrees today, so I can't wait to get outside and enjoy the weather. Once again, appreciate everybody for just being patient, hanging out with us, hoping and praying that one day we will be back on the air. And we are back. We just, once again, appreciate the support. And, you know, we have to dig ourselves out of this hole, because trust me, when I tell you that these jokers have been, BTR has had his days. I mean, there have been times where it's been great. There have been times where it's been horrible. But, you know, we're back, and we are glad that we are. All right. So let's talk about two states decided to take Donald Trump off the ballot because of the insurrection that he initiated on January 6th. So now, Ms. Elias, here's where it gets good. And maybe, now let me go to you, Vanessa. This is where it gets good, because at the end of the day, the Supreme Court has decided to hear these two cases. And a lot of people think that old Brett Kavanaugh is going to be the guy that's going to bail out El former Presidente. There are a lot of legal scholars that say that's not going to happen, that, you know, he's going to do the right thing. So two people to watch coming up, two people to watch, two judges to watch, two justices, I should say, we should watch during this whole process. Kavanaugh, because people have identified him as being that guy that could bail Trump out. And then you know who, old Clarence. Because Clarence is not going to recuse himself. People saying Clarence Thomas should recuse himself because of his wife. Everyone knows what his wife. We've covered it on the show on numerous occasions. Everybody knows what Jenny did. But, you know, but see, here's, once again, here's this stuff where the founders thought that you would have noble people in these positions. These folks, you know, Supreme Court justice is supposed to be the highest on the land. They're supposed to be the ones that's above reproach. They're the ones that are supposed to do the right thing. They're just politicians in robes, as far as I'm concerned. So what do you think, Vanessa? Do you think that what do you think? You think that they're going to reinstate him on the ballot? Because they said,
well, you know what? He's not taken off the ballot, Jay. Let's make that clear.
he is still on the ballot for right now until the Supreme Court makes a decision. He's still on.
Well, of course, if there's an appeal, yeah, of course. I mean, but I'm saying that the ruling was that he's going to be removed from the ballot. Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? I think that they're going to – okay, I'm going to talk two-sided. I think that they're going to side with him, at least one of them people he put on now. My other half over here thinks that they're going to all do the right thing. Because so far there have been some things that they have sided against Trump. So Mr. H over here thinks that that they're going to do the right thing. He does. He says because right now, even if they didn't do what Trump wanted, there's nothing that Trump can do to them. They can't. He can't remove them. He gave them a lifetime position. So Bobby just feels like they're going to do the right thing because Trump can't do nothing to them. And
so
he says,
Bobby Jones.
That's really the truth. He can't do nothing to him. He gave him a lifetime appointment.
Yeah, I said that. Yeah, I mean, there have been cases that they ruled against him, but I don't know because, you know.
I think that they're going to slide his butt through. Vanessa, think they're going to slide him through. Because like I keep saying, I don't think Trump's going to do it one drop of time. I keep saying it.
I think he is. He's on your side too when it comes to that. Yeah, I think the only way. Now you've changed your position too because you said that he's going to spend 24 hours. Now you say he's not going at all.
Okay, he's going to spend 24 hours, but he ain't going to do no time with some 91 indictments that he got.
I see. I beg to differ. I think the only way he gets out of it is he wins the presidency. I don't see any way that he gets through all this. I just don't because some of them are through the state.
That's what he's trying to do is win the presidency so that he doesn't have to do it. So I rest my case.
Right.
That's exactly what me and Les are saying.
No, I listen, and I agree.
Don't get out of it.
Well, I said it from the very beginning when he ran for president. I said he's running because he doesn't want to go to jail. He knew this was coming down the pipe.
But you still think he's going to jail.
I do. I think the only way he doesn't go to jail, I think the only way he does not
now
go to jail.
Now you're changing it.
I said this. I said this the whole time. Yes, I did. I said the only way this man won't go to jail is if he wins the presidency. Go back and look. I said,
and he's going to win the presidency.
No, the hell he's not going to win the presidency. You better get out of here with that nonsense.
Don't
you put that mess out there. No, he's not going to win the presidency. I don't give a damn. He's not going to win. I don't give a damn how weak Biden is. I don't give a damn what people say. They're not going to put that fool back in office. He's not going to win.
Okay.
Whoa, what are you saying? You think he's going to win?
I said that if you go back and listen to the test. What did I say? I said when the
reminder.
If you go back and listen to the tape, I said he's going to win the vote. I said when
he's
going to
do what?
Win the House and the Senate, and I said we'll win the House and the Senate, and he'll win the presidency. His voters are non-wavering.
What?
They don't care.
I don't
what
remember
he does.
You saying that.
They don't
okay.
care that he don't. Go back and listen to the tape. Because matter of fact, huh?
I didn't say anything.
Man, and when he typed it in the chat room, he said. Covina Man said in the chat room, he said, I think that we'll win the House, we'll win the Senate, but he'll win Trump will win. We made Covina Man was talking about that. I said that.
Well, Covina Man said it, but you didn't. I don't remember you saying that.
I did, because Covina Man, I said we'll win the House and the Senate, and Covina Man said, and he tapped in the chat room and said, well, that they'll win the Senate, and we'll win the House. That's the way we were conversing back and forth. After I said that, that's what I said. It's on tape. And you can't deny that one. You can talk all the trash you want to.
Okay, if it's on tape, it's on tape. I don't remember you saying that he's going to win the presidency. I'm shocked
yeah.
to hear that.
Yeah? Why? Why are you shocked? If you look at his voters, they're unwavering. The ones that are going to vote for him, they don't care what he does. He could sit there. He said he's going to be a dictator. And then what they do, they said, we're still voting for Trump. No matter what, we're going to vote for Trump.
Yeah.
These people are crazy.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. And that's 40% of the voters. That is 40% of the election.
Yeah, that is not going to happen.
But it's not the Democrats, what do you hear young people saying? Instead of looking at the whole entire picture, what do you, and people keep talking about Biden's age, Biden's this, oh, he's too old. This man is, and what most people are scared of is his vice president becoming president. Because they don't, a lot of people are saying Biden is not going to make it out of his president. They think he'll die in office. So they don't want Kamala to be president.
Kamala.
That's the reality. I don't care, Kamala, whatever.
Well, you should care. I mean, you don't want anybody saying your name wrong.
And, you know, tell me people say my name wrong.
Listen.
All
right, no problem. Listen.
Okay, Ray. But the bottom line is, his votes are unwavering.
I don't think there's enough of them. I just don't.
There's
40%
of the electorate, Jay.
40% of the electorate is not, that's you listen to polling. You're listening to polling.
I watch people that sit there and I watch a lot of C-SPAN. I watch a lot of news. These cats are not on Trump.
Okay.
No matter what he does, he's you know. And I watch these people that go to his rallies. They don't care. And a lot of the young black voters are digging what Trump was saying. It's what Trump's saying. I'm telling you, it's crazy.
Yeah, what you just said is crazy. There's no way. That guy's not going to win the presidency. He's just not.
But you know what? Is absolutely right that the black voters are for Trump. The young black ones, they are. They don't see what
I don't. I don't. I don't. I haven't met one black voter in person that's for Trump.
I have met a lot of them.
Well, that's because you go on those white cruises. That's why. I mean, you hang out with all that money.
This is like my sister's stepson and his friends. The same ones that voted for him the first time, them same ones. The same
that's
ones.
That's stupidity. You ought to just go slap
them. We all know my white friends are Republicans, so that's not even a question at all. We're talking about black people that will support Trump.
Young black people.
They ought to be.
They dumb. They stupid. I keep telling you, the young ones that voted him in the last time, those are the ones who are saying that he can get the economy and their savings and the money market and stuff back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they complain about because everybody in the United States is hiring. And I try to get on Facebook and say, CDs are at an all-time high, 5.5, and they ain't listening.
Well, guess what? They said that the stock market at this point is the best under Biden that's ever been in the history of this country. So, you know, stop.
Do you realize this, Jay? Everybody talks about what Trump gave when he gave money to the HBCUs. Oh, he gave money to the HBCU. He made it so they don't have to come back every year. Guess who's giving billions of dollars to HBCUs? Did you know that? Biden giving billions of dollars to the HBCU. You know why you didn't know it? Because the Democrats don't tout what they do. That's why. When I told you their messaging is screwed up, there it is. You watch the news all the time, don't you? Where's that? He's giving more money to HBCUs than anybody in the history of giving money to HBCUs. Any other president.
But let me see, can I answer this? Well, let me think. Okay, let me think about this. I think the reason why, and this is a bigger issue too for me when it comes to the Democrats. Why are you going to taunt something or you know sit out here and talk about how great you've done to a section of the electorate that you already have, that you think you have, and that's been the problem for Democrats for the longest. African Americans think that. They said African Americans, they think, you know, y'all take us for granted. So why would you go out and talk? You got these people. You're trying to reach these folks that are not in your corner. Why are you going to talk about that? So I think they're playing the numbers. Yeah, you're going to lose some black votes, but overall, I guarantee you 85% or 90% of African Americans are going to vote for Biden. So why am I going to, you know, send money on that messaging?
Okay.
For what? All right, I'm just saying.
Okay. Okay.
And that's what,
okay.
Yes, Les and Jay, what I'm hoping doesn't happen is, remember when Hillary and Trump was running, they didn't like, the young people didn't like neither one of them, so they didn't go vote. I am hoping that does not happen, that they don't like either one of them, so they decide
that's
not to vote. So if they decide not to go vote, then Trump is going to get back in.
That's the messaging out there, Vanessa, right there. I don't like neither one of them, so I'm not going to even vote.
But and that's always been out there.
40%, no matter what's going to go and vote. No, if you're touting all the stuff that you're doing for your communities, people get out and vote for you because they want more of it. A lot of people don't even know what he's doing. Bidenomics is killing the game. People can talk all the trash they want to, but he's adding jobs. The economy is. Everybody's talking about we're going into a recession. Bull. We didn't go into no recession.
It's already,
The stock market is on top of the game. It's on top of the game. Everything is going and great in the economy, and people still are saying, I'm spending too much money. And you're also making more money. You're making more. The economy is making more. People are making more money than they've ever made, and they're still crying about it. Why? Because it's the messaging that the Republican Party sends out there. The Republican Party sends out that messaging and saying, hey, the economy's bad. Oh, this is bad. That's bad. This is bad. And every Republican keeps hammering it. When you hear the Democrats talking about what Bidenomics are doing, or the president's asking for jobs,
you hear it.
GDP is the best ever been.
I watch enough news. You hear it. You hear them talking it. But I don't know. But I hear that all the time. Well, they don't talk about this. Trust me, I watch every television set in my house is on MSNBC. So you know I watch this stuff religiously. And I hear when Democrats say this thing. But here's the problem. The problem is that this world is dominated by Fox News. I can walk into any establishment, business establishment, and they have Fox News up. They have Fox News up. My old place of business, you walk into a place, Fox News is up there. I walked into an establishment where a lot of liberals hang. I'm like, why y'all got this up on the wall? Man, turn this mess off. Oh, but the owners want us to put us on Fox News.
We
did that story
Uber
a few
the
years.
Other day. Mm-hmm. We were in Uber, and the Uber driver had Fox News on.
Well, that's a person that's working for Uber. They have their own political views. I just figure that for an office space.
You need to have something. I don't care. Do you have to have a Republican?
But they don't care either, apparently. I mean, because it's their car. They can play what the hell they want to play.
Okay.
They don't care what you think.
Just like those businesses you just said.
Well, but see, that's different. No. That's different. Because businesses are supposed to, in every HR manual, you're going to see that you're not supposed to talk about religion and politics at work. You're supposed to be neutral. Well, I know I agree with that statement. I agree with you there, but that's what it's supposed to be. So if you're going to put something on, put the Weather Channel on or something. Don't have Fox News. Every break room has Fox News on. Every last one of them. Well, it's a new broadcast. That's not a news station. That's propaganda. Stop it. Stop. Turn the televisions off if you're not going to, you know, and I used to have a television in my office, and I had on MSNBC. They said, you're a liberal, huh? I said, well, yeah, I guess so. I guess I am. Oh, wow. And they were trying to send me a message where, you know, you really shouldn't have that on in your office. Well, it's my office and it's my television. So I put on what I want to put on.
All right,
you want to watch Fox? You go to the break room and watch Fox. You know. So the St. Clair Group, we did the story about the St. Clair Group, where you know all of their programming, and we're talking ABC, NBC, local news. They had to have this. I think it was like a 2-minute thing. They talked about the St. Clair Group. People said, "Oh my God, these people are trying to blow folks' minds. They're trying to, you know." Make people Jim Jones. You talk about Jim Jones. You know, they're just trying to, you know, put this stuff in folks' minds all the time. They're trying to indoctrinate these people. It's just crazy, man. It's crazy. All right, what's up? I'll take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Online radio at its best.
Ah.
It started with how do you do. I heard you like to sing. The words you write, they must mean more to you. Do you like romance? And who taught you love? And what if I never know how to love myself so I can give you love? If you want me, say less.
Today, nearly one in five Americans are living with a mental health condition, from our children and grandparents to our veterans, coworkers, and neighbors. For all of us, our mental well-being is just as important as our physical health. But unfortunately, most of us don't know how to recognize the signs that someone is in emotional distress, and so many of those who are having difficulty can't get the help they need. Together, we can change this. We can start by visiting changedirection.org and learning the five signs that may mean someone is struggling and needs help. And then it's up to us to show compassion, to reach out, to connect, help folks find the hope and the support they need. Together, we can change the story about mental health in America. Together, we can change direction.
Online radio at its best.
Welcome back in. 347-850-1272 is that call-in number. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show. Happens every, almost every Sunday right here on the TJRS Radio Network. Online radio at its best. Happy New Year. Happy 2024. And let me say good morning to my peeps. What's up to my sexy? Ooh, sick those photos looking sexy. Sexy sis, Vanessa May Belly. From the McAnally, hey, what's going on with Vanessa May Belly from the McAnally?
But you know, when you met me, I was another 15 pounds smaller than that. When you met me over 10 years ago, I was smaller than that. You know what? God is good.
Yes.
I'm 61 years old. I feel good today, and I'm ready to go get on that ship. I'm ready. I'm ready.
I'm ready, too. Make me a stowaway. Can I jump in y'all bags and go? I just want to get the
Woo!
Hell up out of here. Thank you
get
so much, Vanessa May Belly.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. The man that gets the first and last word here on the Serious Side, the one and only Mr. L to the E to the S is in the house as well. What's going on, man?
Morning to you, and good morning, Nessa. You look fabulous, baby. Good morning, Rich Sister. Good morning, Mary. The music. First song was Summer 2020 by Janae Aku. The last one was by my main man, Lucky Witherspoon, and it's called Comfortable. Kathleen.
Good morning, your brother Hawk, and good morning, your brother Jay. Yeah. See, we're out of
good
practice.
Morning, Kathleen.
Okay. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. Well, no, because usually after that you say good morning to my brother Hoffman and my brother Jay. Yeah, well, your order is not right.
First.
But just a minute. It's okay,
hey,
man. I mean, we're all
the right. Shut up. Hey, good morning, Kathleen.
They're going to tell me to shut up.
Good morning, Real J. And good morning, my brother Hoffman. Good morning, my brother Jamal. Well, you like to interrupt people.
That's not what you usually do. It's okay. We're out of practice. It's okay.
When I
usually
try to change it up.
Well, that's true. It's 2024. You're right. I stand corrected.
Finger
you're
up.
Right. You can. Okay. Well, let's see if you do the same thing next week. 347-850-1272. You know what's happening to you, everybody. I want to say what's up to the pastor. I want to say what's up there. Now listen. We're not doing a Pastor Steve State Your Case this morning because this is, you know, I'm going to spend some time after the show and try to get our bearings back because I'm looking at all this stuff up on the board now and there are still some issues going on with this. So hopefully we'll be back in full stride next week. Hopefully we'll get the jitters out and, you know, get the bugs out. You know, it's like when you play NFL football, you know, if you take a week off, you're like, dang, I'm a little rusty. So we're a little rusty trying to get back in the saddle. We're back, 347-850-1272. Want to say what's up to the pastor. Want to say what's up to all the folks that are listening. Real deal, you sent me a text, which I'm going to do better in 2024, trying to go check out Instagram messaging because I really don't during the show. He talked about this whole situation when we were talking about Hannah. Said that, hey, listen, this is just, you know, this is Zimmerman all over again, George Zimmerman all over again, citizens who wants to take the law into their own hands. You know, you feel that you have the right to confront a citizen about something. And you know, you think about the situation, George Zimmerman didn't live in that complex either. He didn't live there. You know, it's just crazy, man. These people think they have the right. George Zimmerman is really Mexican, I think. But, you know, people say they think they're white, too. So it is what it is. All right, 347-850-1272. You know, we talk about Donald Trump. He's probably the only former American president that is a part of daily conversations on every news channel because of all the stuff that he has going on. It's amazing that we're still talking about this dude. And I went back and I found a show from a long time ago, and it was a what-if question, and I think I've mentioned it here on this show. But it was a show we did on the Serious Side, I want to say maybe 2013 or something like that. And I had it was a caption, and it had a picture of Donald Trump sitting in the Oval Office and say, can you imagine this man being president? So what people say is true. Don't put stuff out in the atmosphere because we damn sure had that out there. And that clown ended up winning. But now can you imagine him coming back? And my colleagues think the same. He's going to win re-election. And I'm damn near hurt behind that. Really? You don't have faith in the American people? Because there's no freaking way this guy can win again, right? I mean, he can. But come on, man. Really? Are we that crazy as a country to put somebody in that says he wants to be a dictator?
Yes, we are.
Yes. His polling went up even after he said that. And when he put on that Sean Hannity thing, he said, you're not going to be a dictator, are you? He said, very first day, yes, I am. Yeah! People started clapping. Worry that clapping.
Let me ask you something. Give me a number, a percentile of how many African Americans you think that support Donald Trump.
Percent?
How many?
Percent.
Maybe it's me. I can't hear him. I can't hear him. What did he say, Vanessa?
I don't know.
He's breaking up. What percent, Mr. Elias?
15%.
He said 15%.
I know people that are gonna vote for him.
15%, huh? Wow. What about you,
Vanessa? I grew up going to vote for him, so yeah.
That's crazy, especially from the city of the 219. That's really crazy, Vanessa. How many do you think that's going to support Donald Trump, percentile wise? Or ask Bobby Jones. Okay, she's not answering.
I was on mute. So hold on, I'm going to ask Bobby Jones.
That's Bobby Jones. Maybe we should have the Jeopardy music playing while we do this. Matter of fact, I'll just hum it.
He said about 17%. The dog know we leaving. 10 or 15%.
He said what?
Is going
17%.
10 to 15%.
Ah, wow. I'm going to go with 8%. I just feel that at the end of the day.
Bobby said, but well, I didn't say 15, I said 10. So, okay, so y'all know.
Okay, all right, I'm thinking probably between 10 and 8%. I just can't see it being, I can't see it being over 8, but, I'll do 10. I can't see how a person who's responsible for what happened to the Fab Five back in the day in New York, I can't see how anyone that looks like us can support a guy whose dad denied our people from renting their luxury town apartments in New York. I can't imagine someone who says that the Proud Boys are good people too. I just can't understand. What you say, Vanessa?
What's the percent of black people that voted for Donald Trump originally? Wasn't it like 10 or 15%?
I don't know.
It was a surprising number of black people that voted for him because I was shocked when I saw it.
Really?
So, yes.
Okay.
People are not going to tell you who they vote for all the time. They're just not. When they go behind that curtain, there was a lot of white people that voted for Obama and probably said they didn't.
No, that's not true with him. I know the white people that I ran into. I remember when I had some bees in my house and the old beekeeper, this guy had to be about 80 years old. He came up, he said, I'm a Republican. I really don't vote Democrat, but this Obama fella got my attention. So I think, that's a once in a lifetime. He was a once in a lifetime candidate. I just can't see anyone else coming along and just stirring the soul like he did. And I just think it was the perfect storm. You know how you have when the weather is a certain degree, when the water temperature is at a certain degree, it creates this perfect environment for a hurricane and all this other stuff. I just think that President Obama's candidacy and presidency was a perfect storm. We had just dealt with George Bush. We were in an economic recession. Nobody liked Hillary. It was just a perfect storm. I don't think we're going to ever see another African-American president during my lifetime. I don't think I'm going to see one. I just don't. Unless, Biden gets reelected and then, unfortunately, he doesn't make it. But I can't see anyone voting. And I like the new Jersey governor. I think, what's his name, West somebody. I like him. I think he has something going for him. But I just can't see it. I don't think we're going to ever see one. Y'all tell me if I'm wrong.
Or see it either, but the bottom line is that people are talking about Biden passed that crime bill. He was in part, you talk about Trump being racist, but a lot of they come back to that Biden passed the crime bill that hurt African Americans.
Are you talking about when he was a senator? Is that where we're going? Is that what we're talking about? The same crap they use as Hillary Clinton. Oh, she did this. You know, black folks need to understand. You know, we're voting the lesser of two evils. Come on, man. Stop this. This is what, to me, that's another reason why Hillary didn't win. Yeah, I just think so. Well, what she said about this? Yeah, but, you know, I can't remember the moment. But if you go back and read that moment in its entirety, you know, you just take clips of it and then you run with it. This is what she said to black people. Okay. Did you read the whole thing?
Ah.
So I'm just, you know, we get on these, we want to make these stands, and, you know, it's just crazy. You know, vote for this man. You know, it's just nuts. So I'm looking at it now.
Vanessa, you were right.
What?
It's an unusual relationship between education and how black men voted this year. About 26% of black men who had high school diplomas or less, but 22% of black men with bachelor's degrees and 20% of black men with advanced degrees also supported him.
Yeah, but you're looking at one segment. We're talking about the full.
It was a staggering number. I told you, it's surprising that many people voted for him. And y'all are talking about the white people. It's the black people that's pushing him over. I keep trying to tell y'all. It ain't my Republican friends that's pushing him over, baby. It's us. It's our.
Yeah, I'm looking at a story that says it's 11%. It said 11% of African Americans.
It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. It's too many. It just doesn't matter, but it's too many black people.
Well, I think one is too many. Hell, I think one
is
too many.
That's what I'm saying. It's just too many.
Yeah. I think that. You know, listen, there are some troubling times on the horizon. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I feel warm and fuzzy that Biden's going to win re-election. I think that we have voters that are not paying attention to the overall, looking at everything from you know, 10,000-foot view. Like they said, the economy is in better shape. But, you know, folks can look at it through their own lens. And that's the issue that you have, you know. The reason why you don't have a job is because of Biden. Well, okay. I guess you know what?
Tell you something. There are people who are getting jobs making $18 an hour that have felonies, okay?
That have what?
Okay, let's talk about the new law that just passed in California. January 1st, starting April, people who work in fast food are going to get a $4 an hour raise. They gonna make $20 an hour to give those children some French fries at McDonald's. Okay? Now, don't come back and tell me that crap about the cost of living in California is higher. Yes, the cost of living
is
higher. The Social Security is higher. The food stamps is higher. That's the reason why everybody gets all of those. Let me finish. All of them people get all of those services and then move their happy asses to Texas and live like kings and queens because they're gonna get that amount of service of money and they're gonna come and live here in Texas. But $20 an hour to pass some chick French fries, and everybody else is only getting $1.50, $2 an hour starting January 1. Come on now. Don't nobody need to make $20 today, $20 an hour to pass a French fry. I'm just sorry.
And this is why we get the emails we get on you.
I don't give a damn. $20 an hour to pass a French fry.
The cost of living is going up.
Okay, it is, but guess what? Let's talk about it. Abbott has not given anybody a raise in the state of Texas since 2009. The minimum wage in the state of Texas is $7.25 an hour.
He's a clown.
But they're making $20 an hour in California. Jay, I just left California.
Yeah, but
the bread was the same amount of money.
Yeah, well, you know what?
I just left there in November. I stayed there a week. I had to stock my
there you
condo.
Go. So there you go. So think about. Go ahead, Miss Elliott.
The bread was the same amount of money, and the Minnesota was the same amount of money as it is in Texas. Now, it might be higher
what?
In
okay,
rent.
But...
So what?
No. I don't know about that,
okay.
Vanessa.
So, wait. So you saying that somebody flipping
an hour.
A hamburger should make more money than a nurse? You got LVNs that don't
what
make
nurse do you know
hour?
That makes $20 an hour? They must be working in Maine, so.
Jay, the CMAs, the ones who take
none.
Your blood pressure. Jay, listen, when you go to the doctor, that person coming in and say, what are you here for today, Mr. Ruff? Okay, that person, that CMA, who's not an LVN and not an RN, but they taking your vitals, they taking your glucose, they pricking you, that person does not make $20 an hour.
I don't know about that. Okay. We're going to look
CMAs.
That up. And we'll.
They are CMAs. And look it up for the state of Texas. Don't be telling me no crap about New York and all these other places.
You
ain't got to live there. CMAs are not
you go ahead, Miss Elias. I know where you're going. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
You cannot base that on
yeah,
the cost of living. So I should make the same amount of money you make in Texas, even though it costs me more to live here?
I'm saying,
I believe.
But yes, I understand what you're saying in my comments. But listen,
over.
He only gave everybody else $1.50. $1.50 is what he gave everybody else effective January 1. The governor, the state of California person, the governor, he gave everybody else $1.25, $1.50 an hour raise effective January. It wasn't any more than $2. But he gave the hamburger people $4 an hour. So you know what happened? Pizza Hut
underpaid for so long, Vanessa.
Y'all listen to the rest
paid
of the
for
story.
So long.
The people at Pizza y'all ain't listening. The people at Pizza Hut laid off everybody who drove and delivered anything because he said people could just order it through Uber and now that he gotta pay his other people $4 an hour, he can't afford to have delivery drivers.
Yeah, okay.
So they got laid off. So if Pizza Hut is doing it, can you imagine the other companies are fixing to do it? So it's going to be a trickle effect.
Yeah,
That's all I'm saying. $4 an hour for one person, $1.50 an hour for somebody else in a higher position of doing something. That's not right. He shouldn't have gave
higher... What do you mean in a higher position than others? So it's your opinion that because a person's a CMA, they're more important than someone who's making food and
doing
all that stuff?
You're damn right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Because
you got a needle pricking me. When you're a CMA, you pricking me. You got a needle, you drawing blood.
Okay.
A cheeseburger. I'm going to walk up to the cash register and say, can I have a mustard Whopper with cheese? There's a picture of a Whopper. Then you hit the button and say cheese. And then, would you like a fry with that? You smile, fry. Then you hit soda. Yes, I do believe that a person who's working in a doctor's office is more important than a person making a damn cheeseburger. And I don't care what y'all write in for Jay.
Well, we're not going to read them today. I wish we would, though. Good grace alive. I wish we could. Hold your thought for one second. Okay, Frank. Hold your thought for a second. Hold it, please.
Online radio at its best.
Okay. Finish your thought, Vanessa. Tell us how you really feel about people that work at Whataburger. This is why people are coming after you. Listen, if you feel that a person that pricks you is more important, plays a more important role than people that feed you, then okay, that's your opinion. Your argument about them making $20 an hour, Mr. Elias is absolutely correct. The cost of living is sky high in California. So you got to make up for it. How are you going to pay them $10 an hour? Look, you know, we talked about this before. A $400,000 house in California is the same. It's the same size as my house here in Texas.
You didn't promise. What I said was to give everybody a $4 an hour raise. Give it to everybody.
Okay.
Don't give other people $1.50. And then you'll get a hamburger people four, then it makes it seem like hamburger people are more important than other people.
Why? Because
you,
they get
just
help, because
why?
Minimum wage. The CMA folks won't work with minimum wage. Listen, I'm not even getting to all that. I mean, yeah, I hear you. The governor is saying, look, We're going to have people that's making minimum wage just making where they can live. Now, listen, he's not controlling what those medical facilities are paying.
They make $7 an hour.
Well, they only make that. They make $17, $18 an hour here in Texas. I don't know what they make in California.
In Texas, the bread is $4, $3.79, and the eggs is $3. So you're telling me you have to work 1 hour in the state of Texas in order to buy a loaf of bread and some eggs, and that's fair. That's not fair.
You know what? I'm not. Okay, Vanessa, give me your final thoughts. I'm done arguing with you today. Go ahead, Vanessa. Final thoughts. I'm arguing with you.
I think what he did was wrong. I think that the state of Texas people who have not had a cost of living increase since 2009 that make $7.25 an hour doing whatever, hamburger, CMA, pricking blood, don't get my puke up off the floor, I think they should make more than $7.25 an hour. He gave, in California, the regular people a cost of living increase of $1.50 to $2 more an hour, and I do understand that it costs more to live in California, but guess what? It costs more to live everywhere. So he should have made $4 across the board to everybody. Now say the hamburger people should make more money than the people who work in the hospital. You can't make me believe that they should make more money than people who work in a hospital.
Okay. Well, okay, you're done? Because I have some information I'm going to put out. Okay, thank you very much.
And I have a drink for y'all on the cruise ship.
Well, you have a few drinks for us. All right, so now I just looked up this, because I have access to a site called Salary, well, you know, as a former HR professional, and those numbers that you just put out are not correct about CMAs in California. But go ahead, Mr. Elias May, give me your final thought.
I said CMAs in Texas. I am relating all of this to Texas, Jay.
The cost of living is cheaper in Texas. Okay. Okay, fine.
But
all right,
so
okay.
So, Jay, we shouldn't make more than $7.25 an hour in Texas? I'm saying, rub off the governor in Texas? Can he rub off?
Okay.
Okay, that's fine. If y'all believe that a person making a hamburger, I don't care. People who make a hamburger can make $20 an hour, even in California, is good, then God bless y'all. Because I believe that the people in Texas should make more than $7.25 an hour doing.
Well, blame your governor. Don't blame California's governor. Blame your governor. How about that?
Well, he should make everybody get a $4. Everybody
he can't make everybody
because
he ain't the governor of Texas. How about that?
Okay, well, the governor in California should have gave everybody. Everybody should have got a $4 an hour increase, Jay. Everybody.
He just raised the
price.
Guys, and that's all he did was
for everybody, those people that he's trying to equal out the salaries, and that's all he's doing.
He's dealing with minimum wage.
To equal it out. That's all he's doing.
Minimum wage. That's what he controls.
You're more important than this or that one. He's saying if your minimum wage should be higher because the minimum wage has been ripped off for years. So, man, have a great work week.
Yeah, I mean, all he can do is control what he can control. What those private industries are paying these folks, they need to step up to the table. Not him. He's just controlling what he can control. So, you know, hey, I'm going to control what I can control on my end, and that's minimum wage.
I can't afford to go to California and eat a cheeseburger, so I think that I'm going to bypass California vacation because the food and everything is going to go up. Everything that you buy in California is going to go up because of that.
Thank you, Vanessa. So, Ms. Elias, if it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff,
the serious side of the J show.
Oh, boy. It's been a pleasure serving you folks. So, remember, if it is Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, it is the serious side. So, for Vanessa, for Ms. Elias, I'm Jay Ryle saying have a wonderful work week. God bless, and hopefully we'll see you back here next week on the serious side.
I love y'all.
Well, you don't love hamburger people.